In 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the Center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Throughout its history, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, has sought to promote sustainable home ownership, support community and urban development, and access to affordable housing. Over the last couple of years, HUD has made many steps to improve its management and performance in fulfilling this important mission. What is HUD's financial management strategy? How is HUD using financial data to inform its management decision-making process? And how is HUD transforming the way it does business? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Doug Criscitiello, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Doug, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is Dennis Kayser. Dennis, welcome.
Thanks, Michael.
Doug, before we delve into specific initiatives, let's start off by learning more about the organization. Can you provide us with a brief overview of the mission and evolution of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development?
Sure. HUD was created as a cabinet-level agency back in 1965, and its primary mission has evolved somewhat over time, but it's generally been to promote homeownership, fair housing, and community development, and also to provide rental assistance. Today, HUD has sharpened its focus, and its mission now is to create strong, sustainable, inclusive communities and quality, affordable homes for all. Interestingly, HUD has been playing a very active role in our economy and has touched the lives of many Americans in recent years as we're emerging from this financial crisis. And just a couple of quick numbers for you. Through HUD programs, 6 million Americans have mortgages today that are backed by the Federal Housing Administration at HUD. About 4.7 million low-income families benefit from our rental assistance programs. And we provide community development block grants across the country. So you're seeing HUD impacts in our cities and states from coast to coast today.
So operationally, how is HUD organized? What's the size of its budget, number of full-time employees, and the geographical footprint?
HUD has about 80 field offices across the country. We have 10 regional centers, have a total of about 9,000 employees in place. Our budget is approaching $50 billion. A good chunk of that goes to assist low and very low income families have decent, safe, affordable rental housing. And we're structured around our mission areas at HUD. You know, I talked earlier about promoting safe, inclusive communities, you know, and a number of our bureaus within HUD have that as a key part of their mission. We have a large office of housing. The Federal Housing Administration is part of that office. We have a large office of community planning and development, which is very focused on regional and community development across the country. And our third largest office is the Office of Public and Indian Housing. And I mentioned the work that we do to provide rental assistance, and that's directed through that office. There are a number of other offices within HUD. Those are what I consider the big three.
So with an expansive and important mission, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about your role supporting that mission. Would you tell us about the responsibilities and duties of the CFO at HUD?
Let me start just by way of background. If I'm going to talk about the Office of the Chief Financial Officer, I really need to talk a bit about the Chief Financial Officers Act of 1990. That's the statute that really dictates how federal CFOs are doing their job. The CFO Act sought to improve financial information transparency and strengthen internal controls and mitigate risk throughout the government. That's sort of why the CFOs exist. The Act put a CFO in every federal agency and made those CFOs responsible for corporate-like audited financial statements. Our challenge going forward is to find ways to make the work of the OCFO, the Chief Financial Office, more relevant to decision makers and taxpayers while continuing to do our basic financial management blocking and tackling. Moving to my own office at HUD, we are split into four areas on accounting, financial management, financial systems, and budgeting. About 200 staff. You know, we spend between $40 and $50 million a year on the staff and the related work that we do. You know, our primary mission is to support HUD and the program offices at HUD by guiding these program offices and the employees there toward the understanding and practice of sound financial management and program development. And we also operate as a steward for public funds.
I'd like to go back to your specific responsibilities and duties. What would you say the top three challenges are that you face in your position, and how are you addressing those challenges?
I think clearly our primary challenge right now is managing a large and complex budget. You know, we're always dealing with three separate fiscal years. We're closing out the previous year, we're executing the current year, and we're planning for the ensuing year. This year, it's even more challenging because we're in the process. You know, our current year, our fiscal year 11 budget has not yet been enacted. We're about to submit our congressional budget request to the Hill for fiscal year 12. That's enormously complex, and we're in an unusual circumstance. So it's requiring us to remain very nimble, to juggle those 3 years and to continue to provide the support throughout the department to get the job done that we need to do regardless of, you know, the status of our current year budget, at least. You know, another key challenge for me at HUD has been to improve our financial systems. I inherited a project that had been underway for quite some time known as HUD's Integrated Financial Management Improvement Project, HIFMIP. That is an effort to replace an antiquated financial systems technology and to move HUD toward having financial data that's reliable, timely, and allows us to safeguard taxpayer dollars and to arm decision makers within HUD with information they need to do their job. And the third is related to the first two, but it's a challenge of enhancing our financial information and reporting to provide an understandable picture of HUD's performance, financial condition, and fiscal outlook. It's just highly incumbent upon us to make sure that taxpayers and elected officials understand what we're doing with their dollars, right? With taxpayer dollars. How are they being used? Are they being used effectively? And are we able, in an understandable way, we want to convey what we're doing, how much we're spending, and what taxpayers are getting for their investment in HUD.
Thanks, Doug. Those sound like some significant challenges. If we could, we'd like to learn a little bit more about you. So would you describe your career path for our listeners? You know, how did you begin your career and what brought you to your current leadership role?
Yeah, well, it's a long and winding road. My home career, I started out my career in the most nitty-gritty way at local government. I've worked for the city of New York several times. My first job with the city of New York, I worked at the Department of Sanitation. My first assignment was to do a management study at Fresh Kills Landfill. So spent a few months there at Fresh Kills. But, it was fascinating to me. I mean, that's an important function. And it really just ignited a flame in me that I wanted to learn more about government and how we do what we do. From there, my interest sort of morphed into, I had a real interest in finance and budgeting. I went down that path and moved to Washington, where I spent about 10 years working on federal budget issues at the Congressional Budget Office, the Office of Management and Budget, and also the Small Business Administration. Very interesting jobs, all great organizations, and I was thrilled to have that experience. After about 10 years of federal service, I had an opportunity to return to New York City. So I went from the landfill of Staten Island to an office downtown. I was asked to set up an independent agency modeled after the Congressional Budget Office here in Washington. So I was the founding director and first employee of the New York City Independent Budget Office. And our job there was to enhance official and public understanding of fiscal issues facing New Yorkers. And, you know, a nonpartisan organization, I think the nature of this work is nonpartisan. Good budgeting, good financial management speaks for itself. There's not a partisan angle to it. I did come back to D.C. after a while working in New York, spent some time in the private sector doing some consulting work and some banking-related work. But ultimately, I've been attracted back into government service. Again, not a terribly partisan person, but I was truly inspired when this president was elected. His election, coupled with the looming financial crisis at the time, really motivated me to throw my hat back in the ring. And, you know, I was really honored to get nominated by him to serve as HUD's CFO. And, you know, it's just been a thrilling experience to work for the president, and importantly, within HUD, to work with Secretary Donovan, who is just a tremendous leader and the exact CEO that this organization needs right now.
Well, keeping up on that idea of leadership and a leader of the organization, and given your experience as you just outlined it, what are the characteristics of an effective leader? And more particularly, what management lessons have you brought to the culture of HUD from your previous experience?
Well, you need a leader. And in part, I think I'm hearkening to HUD's current secretary, who I think has done a fabulous job at articulating a vision and devising a strategy to get there. I think anyone can come up with a dream, a vision, but to really come down to how do we get there, and to get involved in the projects and the day-to-day tasks to get you there. As leaders, that's what we need to be focused on. It's not just the big picture. Now, bringing it back to me in terms of my own staff, and I have a terrific team at HUD within the Office of the Chief Financial Officer. And I guess my guiding principles, you know, I try to empower my people by treating them with respect, soliciting contrary views. Last thing I want is a bunch of folks around me who are victims of groupthink. I want to hear from folks who think, you know, we're not going down the right path in this area or the other. You know, we move into these leadership positions, but it doesn't mean we have a monopoly on wisdom by any means. So I try to encourage full participation. I guess one area that I've hoped that I've evolved over time, I try to listen. Especially, it's interesting to be a political appointee in an agency like HUD, where I've inherited a very seasoned career staff. I mean, I have folks that have been at HUD and working within the OCFO for decades. You know, they have incredibly valuable knowledge, and I'd be a fool not to listen to that. I've been fortunate throughout my career to work at a number of organizations where there are smart, hardworking people who love what they do, and HUD is just the latest example.
What is HUD's financial management modernization strategy? We will ask Doug Crisitello, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour. How can government cut costs and improve performance? What are federal agencies doing to be more transparent, participatory, and innovative? How is the Navy strengthening its information dominance for the 21st century? What is the U.S. Postal Service doing to reduce its carbon footprint and green its operations? And how are state and local governments doing more with less? Pick up the latest edition of the Business of Government magazine and find out. We bring you insights and interviews from government executives who are changing the way government does business. Download or order a free copy at businessofgovernment.org. Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Doug Crisitello, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Also joining us today from IBM is Dennis Kayser. Doug, the FY11 budget strategy is informed by five overarching strategic goals. Would you elaborate on the extent to which HUD links its budget planning process to its strategic vision to ensure investments tie back to strategic goals?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have really, and much of this was underway before I got to HUD, and I've just been incredibly impressed at HUD's strategic planning and their desire to link the overall vision for the department to these very integrated strategic plan, and then down to execution, and budget execution obviously is a key part of that. Let me lay out the five strategic goals. The first involves HUD strengthening the nation's housing market to bolster the economy and protect consumers. There's no doubt that HUD has just played such a critical role in the primary mortgage marketplace here over the past couple of years. In our budget for the Federal Housing Administration and for Ginnie Mae clearly reflects what we're trying to do with that goal. It's a very robust request for both of those agencies within HUD. So just that's a great example right there. Our second strategic goal is to meet the need for quality, affordable rental homes, continuing HUD's efforts to really rebalance national housing policy and reassert federal leadership on rental housing. In past decades, to promote home ownership. Well, you know, perhaps home ownership isn't perfect for everyone, and it's important to have safe and decent rental housing. There's been a real focus at HUD to ensure that we have adequate funds dedicated to that purpose. Again, Secretary Donovan's leadership on this front has really been laudatory. He has a major effort underway to transform rental assistance, to rethink how we do it. And again, the linkage between our strategic plan and budget just couldn't be clearer. Our other three goals are to ensure that HUD, you know, utilizes housing as a platform for improving quality of life, to also help build inclusive and sustainable communities that importantly are free of discrimination, with an emphasis on place-based, the importance of place. You know, it's not just houses out in the wilderness. There's schools involved, transportation systems, there are environmental considerations. It's been great to see this goal of our strategic plan in action because it's not just a HUD-specific thing. And we're working closely with departments across the government to promote place-based solutions. It's just a wonderful goal. And our fifth goal, most tactically, we're looking to transform the way HUD does business, to move this department into the future in a way that's efficient, that's reliable, held to the highest standards. Let's accomplish these goals, but let's do it in the most cost-efficient manner that we can. So that's the vision and the strategy to get there that I mentioned earlier.
Could you tell us a little bit more about your overall financial management modernization strategy, how that system maybe fits into that strategy and will change operations for you?
Yeah, a couple of high-level comments on that front. My mantra around HUD is, it's all about the data. Our financial systems modernization efforts are part of a broader process, and we're seeking reliable financial information to enable decision makers around the department to make informed decisions. Moving toward a modern financial system, such as HFMIP, our integrated core financial system, is a big step in that direction. It serves as the foundation of our financial operations. It's important. It's part of a process. We're not going to eat this elephant in one bite. And we've structured our financial systems modernization efforts into manageable pieces. Right now, we have an 18-month scope to roll out and to go live with an integrated financial management system. It's getting a tremendous amount of attention within the department. We're moving on it, and we're going to end up with very accurate, consistent, timely financial information. That's what we need. So as the business of HUD changes, you know, we're going to be positioned to adapt. And that's exactly what HUD needs right now.
Your department received an unqualified opinion on its principal financial statements for the 11th consecutive year. Now, this demonstrates a clear pattern of financial accountability. First, you know, what's the significance of a clean opinion? And then what are the keys in actually achieving a timely and clean opinion?
Well, you know, a clean audit opinion provides a reasonable assurance that our financial balances are accurate and that internal controls are operating effectively. But it doesn't mean that HUD can't improve here. So having a clean opinion, it's not a be-all and end-all. It's a necessary but not a sufficient condition for us getting back to having that data that we need to inform our leaders and the staff throughout HUD. You know, I would say that an unqualified opinion doesn't imply that improvements aren't needed. So we're going to continue to push. I mean, we'll get our new financial systems in place that really, that's just going to enhance our ability to continue to get clean audit opinions, you know. So we're 11 years in a row now. You know, I'm quite confident that this just sort of pushes us over the top and puts us in very good position for years to come once HIFMIP goes live. But there's a lot more to be done on this front, sort of beyond just making sure that we have clean financial statements. You know, you picture the ideal state, you know, the omnipotent data warehouse at HUD would be just a single warehouse, and we'd be able to access that data, and we could look at it across the country. Where are things working? Where do we need help? How does this all feed down into our financials and our budget? I mean, that's the long-term vision.
That's a great segue into budget and performance integration that lies at the heart of ensuring both strategic allocation and the efficient use of funds. So with your mantra being the data, what are you folks doing at the department to integrate budget and performance data, and how are you expanding the use of financial data to inform your management decision-making?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I've mentioned our five strategic goals, and just really a terrific document. I'd welcome anyone to go to HUD.gov and look at it. It is just eminently understandable in plain speak, just a terrific document. But again, it comes down to execution. We've articulated the vision. Now, how do we execute that? And one thing that the Secretary has instituted at HUD that I have just been incredibly impressed, and the OCFO is in the process of helping to strengthen this initiative, is something that we call HUDstat. HUDstat is modeled after the renowned CompStat program that the New York City Police Department used. You know, and that effort in New York was all about targeting the resources of the city and the police department to where crime was the worst, and also looking for best practices. Where is crime going down, and what are we doing there? So the Secretary has instituted HUDstat across HUD with the goal of executing our strategic plan. So we're meeting monthly. 1 month we'll spend on one strategic goal, and rotating those goals through. But it's a terrific system where everyone's sitting down talking about what's working and helping us achieve these goals and looking at real data. Again, it comes back to it's all about the data. So we're looking at real data in pretty real time, you know, could be a little better, I think, on that front. But importantly, we're also looking where aren't things going well, and what do we need to do to improve? And it's an all-hands meeting. So these HUDstat meetings, it's the senior leadership team at HUD, cross-siloed. It's not just the main office within HUD that's focused on this goal. So everyone's sort of got their sleeves rolled up, including the program managers that might be running a specific program that we're talking about. And importantly, I have to emphasize, it's not just a Washington, D.C. thing. We have folks from the field. They're there where the rubber hits the road, where they're explaining what's happening at the local level. And it's just fascinating. You think about how data can inform that process even more. Real-time, actionable data. And again, that's what I'm striving for within OCFO.
Well, Doug, during our conversations, you've mentioned the importance of your agency being good stewards of the public trust. And I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about how you're embedding and developing and maturing an internal control model within your department.
Again, it's a process. Our internal controls are focused not only on what we do within the OCFO, but across program offices. I mean, they're held accountable. I mean, we working closely with them to highlight their accomplishments and best management practices. Just a constant back and forth where we're asking, what are you accomplishing in your office? You know, are you preventing waste, fraud, and abuse? we're addressing any material weaknesses that have been identified by our Office of the Inspector General. So kind of upside, downside. The upside, we're looking, what are these program offices doing right? But we're also looking for areas where we can address weaknesses and identify risk. Importantly, one thing that we do within the OCFO is to perform front-end risk assessments. So for any new program or any program that has a significant change in their funding level, we are performing a front-end risk assessment within OCFO to take a look at, what's the plan here to safeguarding taxpayer dollars? What are we doing within the program office to ensure that these dollars are spent wisely and controlled?
So, Doug, HUD has been a leader in the federal government in reducing improper payments. I believe you've reduced improper payments from about $3.4 billion in fiscal year 2000 down to about $925 million in fiscal year 2009. A 73% reduction is quite impressive. Could you tell us more about which HUD programs may be more susceptible to such errors and why that is?
Well, I guess the primary culprit at HUD over time has been our rental housing assistance programs. I mean, they have been subject to some improper payments. But as you said, I mean, we've made tremendous progress on this front. I mean, we've reduced the amount of improper payments by about 75% in recent years. And, we've achieved that success principally through the use of Enterprise Income Verification System, an EIV system that we use at HUD, to ensure that the beneficiaries of these programs sort of are in the situation that we think they are, right? The public housing programs are intended to assist low and very low-income individuals, and we want to make sure that that's who's benefiting from this. This is a very large spend item for HUD to provide this assistance. Working with the Office of Public and Indian Housing and also our Office of Housing, we've been able to make tremendous strides in this area just in a very short period of time.
So you talked a little bit about the approaches that you have there, and the results are pretty impressive. How much of a challenge is it, though, for your organization really to still address this problem?
Well, we're continuing to push on that front. This generic issue of improper payments has received, quite a bit of focus across the federal financial management community recently because the president signed legislation back in December that requires agencies to take a very strategic approach in reducing improper payments. Especially in the current environment, I mean, it holds true at any time, but we can't be making payments erroneously. We need to make sure that these dollars go to whom they're intended. We all should have a healthy dose of skepticism within the financial management community that is just the bare minimum that we need to ensure. So, I'm thrilled that HUD is a leader in this area in terms of reducing those improper payments. But, our goal is to reduce it to zero. I mean, let's not make improper payments.
Doug, for the fourth year in a row, your department has received the prestigious Association of Government Accountants Certificate of Excellence in Accountability Reporting, or CEER, award. First, what are the benefits of accountability reporting? And second, would you tell us more about the award, its process, and the significant milestone for your organization?
It's just really been a tremendous honor for the staff at HUD to receive the CEER Award for the last 4 years. I think it really does point out the terrific work that's done by the career staff around government. I mean, we draw this distinction. I'm a political appointee. Most of the CFOs around government are political appointees. We come in and we affect the change that we can while we're there. The CEER Award, in my view, is really commending the terrific work that's done by the career staff that are there for the long haul and are ensuring that we have sound processes in place, that we're doing everything possible to integrate budget and performance. And it's a terrific recognition once again, though, come back to my theme that data is key. I want to see the SEER review panel looking more. What are these agencies doing to look into the future about the importance of financial information? And what are program managers at these departments doing with the information that's generated by OCFOs around government? I mean, that's I think, the question of this the new decade that we're in right now.
How is HUD transforming the way it does business? We will ask Doug Crisitello, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour. How can government cut costs and improve performance? How are disruptive innovations saving lives on the battlefield and expanding our presence in space? What is the U.S. Navy doing to strengthen its information dominance for the 21st century? What are federal agencies doing to be more transparent, participatory, and innovative? And how are federal agencies leveraging technology to improve mission effectiveness? Pick up the latest edition of the Business of Government magazine and find out. The Fall-Winter 2010 edition of the Business of Government magazine provides insights from those who lead. Hear from Richard Spires, leading Homeland Security's technology effort, Dr. Bobby Braun, advancing NASA's space technology program, Vice Admiral Jack Dorsett, strengthening the U.S. Navy's information dominance, and Cass Holloway, ensuring the New York City water system is viable for the next 100 years. All of this and so much more in the Fall-Winter 2010 edition of the Business of Government magazine. Download or order a free copy at businessofgovernment.org and find out how the business of government is not business as usual. Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Doug Crisitello, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Also joining us today from IBM is Dennis Kayser. Doug, given HUD's critical mission, would you tell us more about Secretary Donovan's transformation initiative? And specifically, what ways does this transformation initiative look to modernize your business processes, the way you do business, and how you improve meeting mission effectiveness?
Well, yeah, HUD started the transformation initiative in 2010 as a way to give the department the flexibility to enable innovation. The TI fund, as we call it, aggregates limited transfers of HUD program funds, no more than 1% from any given program in a given year, into a central pool that can be used for transformational projects in four areas: research, program demonstrations, technical assistance, and information technology. Again, a great innovation at HUD. It happened before I got there. Another, secretary deserves a tremendous amount of credits for creating this funding mechanism that allows us to design cross-cutting, cross-programmatic solutions to the problems that HUD and the communities we work with face every day. I've been so impressed at watching TI in action. I mean, talking about our research and demonstration side of the TI fund, we basically conducted an internal RFP process, an internal solicitation process. Hey, if you have ideas for programs that we should take a hard look at, or we want to do a demonstration study, or, cost-benefit analysis, let us know your ideas. It was just terrific to watch these ideas pour in from throughout HUD. And we now have a pool of money that we could tap in to fund some of these things. Again, getting back, what are we trying to do at HUD? We're trying to deliver our programs in the most efficient way possible. It's that kind of flexibility, moving over into IT. It's given us the flexibility to think about what do we need from an IT perspective. What do we need to enhance our current systems and develop modern IT solutions? So this has just been fabulous. It's empowered HUD to do the work that it thinks it needs to be done to move HUD into the future. So I it's just been terrific to watch this operate.
Doug, I believe the Recovery Act provided $13.6 billion for projects and programs that are administered by HUD. Can you tell us more about your efforts and the role of your office in managing, tracking, and reporting on such significant amounts of monies? And, of course, what are some of the challenges facing performing those duties?
Well, this is a great example. I mean, the Recovery Act, the level of scrutiny and transparency and accountability around the Recovery Act is model. I mean, this is the way we need to be moving toward a paradigm where all government spending is treated this way. You know, my hat's off to the Office of Management and Budget, which I think has just done a tremendous job in putting out the guidance for how the Recovery Act dollars should be spent, what we need to be doing from a tracking and transparency perspective. And all this comes to light so clearly when you go to recovery.gov to see all the information that's on there. I mean, we're holding ourselves accountable to taxpayers. This is how we're spending these funnies. Now, bringing it back within HUD, you know, we've been very mindful of, you know, the need to ensure that these dollars go to their intended purposes. And so we've ratcheted up our internal efforts also. I mean, we've had to, just given our need to comply with the OMB guidance, but also proactively, you know, we've really been working to ensure that the appropriate internal controls are in place, rather than sort of putting the money out there and waiting for, you know, external sources to identify and you know, declare problems. We've been very active. I mentioned earlier our front-end risk assessment process, which was really kicked into high gear for all of the Recovery Act spending. Again, our management control and our Recovery Act team has prepared data, you know, sort of a dashboard type approach for informing our senior leaders how these Recovery Act funds are being spent. Are they going for the intended purpose? What impact are they having? You know, we're doing regular briefings on this front. I think the Recovery Act, the way that we've administered it, ultimately, I think it's served in a certain sense as a pilot for longer-term government-wide and HUD-wide implementation of public programs.
So, Doug, I understand that FHA's excess capital reserve ratio has fallen below the congressionally mandated 2%. And what I'd like to know is, could you elaborate on the long-term plan to address this issue, maybe restore and maintain the capital reserve ratio for FHA?
Well, sure. But let me first say that the low capital ratio is reflective of future costs from loans that were originated several years ago, maybe in the 2006 to 2008 period, and new FHA-insured loans that we've been making over the past couple of years are very strong. This ratio, this capital ratio, measures how much in terms of current cash resources could be or might be depleted given future loan performance. So it's not actual direct cash resources out of FHA. And as you know, FHA loan guarantees are fully backed by the U.S. Treasury. So we're taking a measured approach to restoring the capital ratio over time because, you know, we're very mindful of our role in stabilizing housing markets and providing opportunities to first-time home buyers. I mean, the last thing we'd want to do is to just shock the mortgage marketplace by taking real bold actions to get our capital reserve ratio back up. You know, the team at FHA, Commissioner Dave Stevens and Chief Risk Officer Bob Ryan, and that whole team really have done a terrific job monitoring, evaluating every aspect of FHA's business. They've been finding ways to reduce risk exposure and, you know, ensuring that we have a platform for meeting our critical housing needs. And that sort of harkens back to strategic goal number one.
Doug, agencies are set to strengthen the way they award and service loans, the way they manage their portfolios and collect their debts. Could you tell us more about your department's management and strategy for improving its credit management capability?
Yeah, sure. HUD has created chief risk officer positions at both the Federal Housing Administration and at Ginnie Mae. These offices have staff, or in the process of staffing up, and have some good folks on board that help review credit programs at HUD and manage risk at our key credit agencies within the department. So, you know, there's a number of programmatic things that have happened within both FHA and Ginnie Mae. I mean, FHA has changed how much we charge for loan guarantees. So we've changed our mortgage insurance premiums. We've changed credit score requirements for borrowers to strengthen loan requirements. We've implemented a number of measures to do a better job overseeing our lenders. A lot going on also with Ginnie Mae on this front, where they've improved their approval and monitoring processes over their issuers. So, you know, just a tremendous amount of work going on within FHA and Ginnie Mae. I do think this sort of generic area of risk management, you know, we need to be focused throughout HUD, sort of enterprise-wide risk management. Really, that applies to the whole government in terms of credit programs. Just a tremendous amount accomplished over the past couple of years, and there's a lot more to do on this front to proactively manage risk.
So, Doug, when it comes to government, the public demand has been around accountability, transparency, results, and outcomes. What are you doing to drive results, outcomes, transparency, and accountability in your organization?
As I've discussed here today, there's a lot happening across HUD. You know, I've talked about our HUDstat initiatives, what we're doing from a strategic planning perspective, the importance of improving our data. I would say to boil it back down to the Office of the Chief Financial Officer, it just keeps coming back to this for me. It's all about the data. I mean, sure, we have good internal controls, safeguards in place. We're working hard to execute our budget and plan the budget for the next year, prepare financial statements. But the best thing that we can do to increase accountability and transparency and results, it's all about the data. It's the need we are moving forward to ensure that the key decision makers, the managers, and the staff from throughout HUD have the data they need. We want real-time, accurate, reliable information to run our programs. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, that's our responsibility. We're the executive branch of government. So our focus and the HIFMIP project is a step in this process. We are moving to improve and, you know, importantly, working with the Office of the Chief Information Officer and their terrific CIO, Jerry Williams, we are moving to improve data across the department.
Doug, I'd like to shift the question a little bit. You've talked a lot about what HUD and you are doing for improvement, but the private sectors work closely with the federal government, you know, to assist improving financial systems and processes, conducting financial statement audits, and even performing, you know, some financial operations. However, what can the private sector do better to help improve the efficiency and effectiveness for our government's financial management process?
Well, the private sector here in Washington, I think, is really an unheralded champion of much of what's been accomplished on the financial management front over the past 20 years. I've said it time and time again. There are the number of incredibly dedicated, hardworking financial management professionals in this town that are in the private sector that deserve every bit as much credit for getting our financial house in order. Are, you know, are those folks that are working for consulting firms here in town, accounting shops, IT companies? That's just been, to some extent, I think the initial intent of the CFO Act, let's produce timely, reliable financial information and strengthen internal controls. To some extent, I think that's mission accomplished. In a narrow way, that's mission accomplished. And it's been full partnership with the private sector to pull this off. You know, going into the future, I think this partnership with the private sector is going to continue. We're moving into a more sort of exotic areas. We think about, you know, moving systems and data to the cloud. And I think we're going to continue to benefit through our collaboration with the private sector. I mean, stay tuned and strap in. I think it's going to be a very interesting decade on this front.
What does the future hold for financial management at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development? We will ask its CFO, Doug Crisitello, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour. From contaminated peanut butter to spinach, our food safety net has shown signs of fraying, with tainted products slipping through to retail shelves, causing human harm and economic ruin. Pick up the latest Center report on food safety and find out how critical private-public partnerships are enhancing the current food safety system in America. You can order or download a free copy of this and all of our reports at businessofgovernment.org. Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Doug Crisitello, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Also joining us today from IBM is Dennis Kayser. Doug, as you know, for the most part, work in government is accomplished by teams of employees. Would you elaborate on your approach to empowering your employees and driving change?
Yeah, the interesting body of work that's completed within the OCFOs from throughout government. Some of it is really just basic blocking and tackling. You know, I call it the machine of OCFO. There's certain things that we generate every year. We have to produce a budget. We have to do financial statements. There are a number of financial reports. And we have staff in place that have been doing this for some time. I think my great challenge is to find ways to engage the staff on kind of what I call more creative work, whether it involves new programs, policy reforms, or strategic planning efforts. How do we foster an atmosphere of teamwork that we're all sort of going to move forward boldly together? And in this environment, it's an interesting dynamic because getting back to the basic blocking and tackling, we can't have a single slip up there. If we can't do that well, nothing else matters. The fun stuff, the creative work is just not going to work. It's not going to, folks aren't going to care if our own financial house isn't in order. So, you know, I hold out to my staff the prospect of doing the fun stuff. But, you know, in a sense, I guess I talk to my kids this way, too. We get to do the fun stuff if your room's clean, because the core functions of the OCFO have got to be done perfectly every time.
So, Doug, you know, given the critical and strategic importance of financial information and the role it plays in mission and program delivery, how do you think the role of the CFO has evolved, become more of a strategic business partner across the department? And then to that end, what are some of the key characteristics of a CFO?
Yeah. Well, that's a good segue from the last section. And we really do need to go all the way back to the early 90s when the CFO Act was put in place. You know, government-wide, we were at best mediocre from a financial management perspective. HUD was, I would say, poor, rife with financial management problems, had consistently poor audit opinions and many material weaknesses in our internal controls. Just to put some numbers around that, I know this is accounting speak, but material weaknesses are bad problems from in specific financial management areas. HUD had 36 of those back in the early 90s, had 98 systems that were not compliant with our best practices and what we were looking to accomplish from a systems perspective. We had a disclaimer of opinion on our financial statements, and a disclaimer means that the outside folks looking at our work are saying we have no idea whether these statements are good, bad, or other. And that all led to HUD getting a designation from the Government Accountability Office as being high risk. And the high risk designation is usually assigned to specific program. Maybe there's a program that's not quite working well. We have concerns about it. We're going to put it on the high risk list. HUD had the department put on the high risk list. That's as bad as it gets right there. But let's talk about what's been accomplished. I mean, it's been a good 20 years for HUD from a financial management perspective. Back, you know, in the year 2000, HUD received its first unqualified audit opinion, a clean, you know, clean bill of health on our financial statements. And in the intervening years, has just done a lot to shore up this front. You know, we're almost to the point where we've sort of gotten all of the deficiencies off of our list. You know, I mentioned the 36 material weaknesses. We now have zero. Okay. Huge accomplishment there. You know, it affirms the, you know, again, I want to get, you know, a shout out to our career staff. They deserve the credit. I mean, they've been down in the trenches doing the work that needs to get done. And HUD has been fortunate here in recent years to benefit from a senior management team that is quite focused on this. And, you know, we continue to improve. So are we at the utopian state, though? No, not at all. And there's a lot more that can be done. You know, we picture this vision of the HUD of the future. Financial information is only valuable to the extent that folks are using it. I mean, it's got to be reliable and accurate and timely and all that stuff, but it's got to be used by folks. So what are we doing? Like I said, we have 200 people. We spend $50 million a year in my office. I mean, I feel a responsibility as taxpayers that we're using that money smartly. So use this $50 million to produce financial information and program information that's going to benefit the programs of HUD generally so that the $50 billion that we're spending is spent well. That's the key.
So, Doug, keeping with the future, I'd like to talk about some of the major opportunities and challenges your organization will encounter in the future. And how do you envision your office will evolve to meet those challenges?
My vision for the office is a CFO that has three fundamental roles. Chief accountant and budgeteer. You know, the budget, we haven't talked a lot about budgeting today. It almost goes without saying. I mean, the congressional budget process is so incredibly important. And we are the central budget office of HUD, and all of the work that's done there, you know, it just can't be overestimated, the import of that work. So that, you know, that is just a key part of the job. You know, obviously we've talked about financial risk and the need for the CFO and the OCFO to be focused on financial risk. And we've talked a lot about safeguarding taxpayer dollars. And I like to think of myself within HUD as our chief taxpayer advocate. Okay, so those are, you know, the three key roles. So where do we go from here? And there's a lot of talk in the CFO community about getting to the boardroom. Okay, we've been in the back room. We've been down in the trenches doing all this work. How do we get to the boardroom? How do we inform key decision making across the department? And, you know, the central question, given the HUD, we just had the 20th year anniversary of the CFO Act, you know, folks are asking, are we there yet? We're getting there. We're getting there. You know, a question that I've asked within HUD, are we a support organization within HUD, or are we a business partner? And it's nice to think about it that in a binary way, but the fact of the matter is it's some of both. And we've been largely for the last 20 years, I think the OCFO has provided customer service throughout the department, and that's critical. We're moving toward being a business partner, and I think that holds true for OCFOs across the government. We're getting there. And how do we get there? Well, we've talked a lot about data. It's, you know, it's the data stupid, I guess, is our, you know, should be our mantra across the CFO community. But we have to build an analytical financial management workforce to support program managers and decision makers. There's definitely an if you build it, they will come mentality. We've built some strong pockets within the OCFO since I've been there, some strong analytical capabilities. Folks around the department have really sought that out. They see that we're going to add value to what they're doing. That's how you become a business partner. You have to add value. It's not a question of kicking in doors and I'm the CFO and that means certain things and I need to be there. You know what? We need to show that we add value. So we need to be analytically rigorous, but we also need to be armed with that data that I keep talking about. And these are the benefits of a HIF